Please be seated. As I shared with the children that as Christians, we truly breathe every moment of the day the good news of Jesus Christ. Because God has given us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is always reminding us of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and how it is very, very instrumental in everything we do. So it's something as natural as breathing. That's why the Holy Spirit is given to us, because it becomes a natural part of who we are. But for many people, they just don't. If you ask them, how would you share and how would you explain the good news of Jesus Christ to a non-believer? And for most people, and now again, this is statistics, 75% of members in churches, and I'm not telling about this church, but members in a church cannot share the good news of Jesus Christ. There's just so many things said about it, but there is sort of a simple way of explaining the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, I do certain things when I am doing counseling, either premarital counseling, marital counseling, or counseling with regard to people that are struggling with conflicts. And there is a system in which we resolve conflict. Now, some of us do it badly, because we lived in an environment that has taught us badly. Some of us do it really well, but we can't really explain it. So my goal always is to marriage, to premarital, to anybody that is struggling with conflict, is to teach them a very simple way of resolving conflict, which, by the way, is the very way that God our Father does it with us. Jesus does it. So it's a way, but a lot of times we just need a little help. Something that'll guide us when we are resolving conflict. And I want you to remember, if you want to write it down, four capital letters. L-U-V-R. Lover. Very, very instrumental in helping you. So the first thing in conflicts is you have to listen. You have to listen to the other person. I know many times when we are struggling with a conflict, we want to interject and we want to butt in, but we have to listen to the other person. And what we're listening for is their need. What is the need that they're trying to accomplish in a conflict? But see, listening is just not that. You have to also understand. Because sometimes I've done this many times with my mom. I would sit there, and Cynthia sometimes, I would just nod my head and just smile, and I'm not really listening. So the best way for me to let the other person know that I'm listening is I'm understanding is I repeat back to them what they said. And the third thing is you have to validate their need. You just can't sit there and invalidate need. And we do it so many ways in nonverbal communication. We do it with our words. And the last thing is to resolve. So lover is something that I pass on to all those couples and people, and I test them and I grill them every time I see them. I would say, lover, and they would repeat after me. Eventually what happens, it becomes a part of who they are, and when they are in a conflict, they could sit back and go, L-U-V-R. The same way when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Like I said earlier, some of us don't really have sort of a guideline, some type of way of presenting the gospel that helps them as they are sharing to a person who is a non-believer. Now, you need to know that non-believers do not think like us. And we are so accustomed when we're around Christians that we have Christianese terms that we're very, very familiar with. We talk about things like the cross. You know, you and I know exactly what that cross is, but to a non-believer, a cross is something you wear. So we talk about things like the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, talk to a non-believer about the blood of Jesus Christ. Yeah, they're going to look at you like, what? That we know what the blood of Jesus Christ is about. We know how, matter of fact, it's going to be represented today at the communion table. Well, what about baptism? We all know what baptism is. But to a non-believer, baptism is a foreign concept, as well as words like glorifying God, justification, sanctification, glorification. I mean, there's a lot of terms that we use. I don't know if you even know that most Christians don't use the word luck. They use bless. Yeah, well, you say, have blessings. Bless you, because bless is about God doing something. Good luck is about things that happen randomly. So we are in a process of understanding how we can explain the good news of Jesus Christ to non-believers. And the best way, the foundational way, is you start with the Trinity. Who understands the Trinity? that is a difficult concept. I got a lot of people, yeah, but it's a really simple, beautiful thing that God brought into our lives, because it really, really helps us to know how to relate to God through the persons of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Understanding those persons, understanding who they are and how they are unified and how they're linked together, really helps us to understand the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, we're going to be looking at that passage you've heard so many times. It's Matthew 28. It's about going into the world and making disciples. But in that passage, there is this formula. In fact, it's the first time this phrase was ever used, was right there when Jesus turned to his disciples. Now, you need to know what happened before that. We just celebrated Resurrection Day. You know, again, Christianity, everything is based on the resurrection. If we don't believe in a resurrection, then we can't call God the Son of God, and our faith is foolish. And I'm not the one to say those words. Paul said those words. So, resurrection, Jesus rose from the dead. He's walking around. David shared this amazing story about walking to Emmaus. Can you imagine that? You're walking down, and suddenly a person comes next to you, and there's something about that person, and suddenly God opens your eyes to realize there's something burning in my heart when I was with that person. So you have walked to me. So all these things, and now Jesus is in the process of leaving. He's about to ascend to heaven, and he gives all of us, not just the disciples, this commission. This is non-negotiable. We all have this commission. Go into the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Powerful phrase. Great things that we sometimes read and hear about. You know, the key is God really wants that to be embedded into our hearts, into our spirit, into our minds. It's so important. Well, you know, so we got this formula. Why did Jesus say the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Why right there? You need to know throughout the ministry of Jesus Christ, those three persons have been presented in so many different ways. We know about the Father. We know how many times when Jesus is referring to God, he refers to God as Father or Lord. And he lets us know that we can call God the Father. Then we learn about the life and the work of Jesus Christ. And then we're learning about the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to know that sometimes we Christians can get into a little rut. We can actually focus on one of the persons of the Godhead of the Trinity. We can put a lot of focus just on the Father. We can put a lot of focus just on Jesus Christ. And we can put a lot of focus on the Holy Spirit. It seems that there's sort of a trend sometimes that we do all that. Well, we need to know that all of them work together. They're unified, and they're all important elements of our relationship with God, as well as communicating the gospel to Jesus Christ. So, first of all, very clear, they're not three different roles of a person. They're not. Don't even go there. Okay, some people think that's what it is. There's different ways. I am Peter Dombrowski. I am a father. I'm a son. I am a husband. And I'm a pastor. Those are different roles of Peter Dombrowski. But that's not what the Trinity is about. The Trinity, which is kind of hard to wrap our mind around, because there's nothing in this world that can give an example of it. We tried an apple. We sit there and say, well, you got the skin, you got the meat part, and you got the core, but still one apple. Close, but the Trinity is this: one God, three different persons, three distinct different persons, and every person has a very special role, but more importantly, every person has a special place in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Understanding their parts as the Father, as the Son, and Holy Spirit is very, very important for us to know how we can share that to others. Now, this is just a side note, and sometimes I do this. Sometimes some people try to change that Trinitarian model because they just don't like the idea of a God represented as a person or male or anything like that. And they try to do something like the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. But that's not what the reason why God gave us to Trinity. It's very, very clear. We have no idea how to understand and relate to a God. That concept is very, very difficult for us. And our understanding of God is that God is so large and so huge, it is incredible for us to even wrap our mind around how to really understand and relate to something that large. So God said, I'm going to give you a simple way, a beautiful way. As you get to know me as the Father, me as the Son, and me as the Holy Spirit, you're going to be able to understand and have this great relationship. So the Trinity was really for us, helping us how to relate to a God that is so difficult to explain, but God explains himself, shows himself to the persons of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And they all work together beautifully. But that's why this personal relationship is so important. Because as we know the get to know the Father and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, then we can relate to God. Then we have this personal relationship, and it becomes intimate, it becomes close, but it comes through a personal relationship with a person. And that's why God brought this. Understanding this will help us to know how to share the gospel. So, just quickly, the Trinity is the foundation for the good news of Jesus Christ. Almost everything that we do that's good has some type of foundational truth. If we don't understand that truth, then we're not going to really understand completely how to do something. So, I have an example. Okay? Racquetball. Now, racquetball is awesome. But a lot of times when people go out and play racquetball, they grab a racket and they go into a court and they try to play, but they're doing everything wrong. Okay? So one of the most important things, and many, many times I do not see this, it is the key ingredient when it comes to racquetball. You got to have glasses. Whoa. Yes, you got it. Because that ball is ripping through that room at a phenomenal sense of speed, and this ball is hard. Many times as I played racquetball, I've had this ball hit me. It presses against the glass, but hit me right in the eye. One time, my own son came across and swung, took the racquetball, and hit me right in the glasses. The glasses shattered, but my eye was all right. But without glasses, trying to play racquetball is putting people in a very dangerous situation. So you have a specific type of ball. You can't use any ball. You use this ball. But the important thing is that the other part, the foundational truth of racquetball, you have to put this tether on. Okay. Many times I've seen people that start playing racquetball, they don't have it on. So what happens with it not on when you swing? You got so much force into the swing, and I'm swinging that way, so I'm not swinging out to you guys, okay, without the tether. Yeah, so there is so much force that's coming out through it. So, but you have to put the tether on. So foundational truth, you won't be able to play, and you have this fat part and you have a skinny part. You grab it like you're shaking someone's hand, okay? And again, people use racquet balls as a tennis. This is not a tennis racket. We're not playing tennis. We don't even use that. The racquetball, and I'll quickly, the racquetball, this butt right here goes in the meat of my hand right there. Why? Because in racquetball, you want to lead with this and you want to snap with that wrist. And the power that comes off of that is incredible. But if you don't have that, those foundational truths, then playing racquetball is going to be very difficult. The same way with the Trinity. Understanding the Trinity, understanding the persons within the Trinity, understand how they relate to you as well as relate to each other, is going to help us to be able to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And the good news, you and I, we breathe it. Right now, you're breathing the good news of Jesus Christ, like air. It's just a part of who we are. We just breathe. It's our life force. When God made us into a new creature, God transformed us, God brought us into the kingdom of God, we just breathe the gospel of Jesus Christ, because the good news of Jesus Christ is with us every second of the day. How to explain it is very important, and we're in a process of doing that. For many, and I shared earlier, for many of us, you know, you talk to non-believers, you share the gospel of Jesus Christ using terms that they have no idea, and it's going to be so difficult. I have this amazing cousin. Out of my 32 cousins, she's one of my favorites. I said one out of my favorites. And she failed college algebra three times. Three times. It was so, so frustrating. She had tutors. They were trying to explain to her algebra, explain and explain. But you know what she's phenomenal in? English. She knows every part of the English language. She knows everything, the intricacies, all the understanding, and she could tell you English and English, but when it came to algebra, she finally got it, but it took a lot of explaining. Well, we are going to be in a process that we're, in the next 4 weeks, 5 weeks, we're going to learn how to share the good news of Jesus Christ through the Trinity. And we're going to try to make it, it's going to be very simple, it's going to be very concise, and we are going to have the confidence, every one of us is going to have the confidence to be able to come in knowing, just like lover, anybody remember what L is? U? V? R? I just shared that, what, 10, 15 minutes ago? The same way, we're going to be learning how to share the good news of Jesus Christ based on the foundational truths of the Trinity. And we're going to do that. God is going to do this. It's going to be amazing. You'll have confidence. We'll give you a book marker at the end. We'll give you business cards. And if there's a way for me to develop an app, I would love to download it or have you download it on your phone. So all you have to do is push it, and up this comes this little thing that helps us with it. The Father, life, loving, and longing. The Son, with us, for us, redeem us. The Holy Spirit fills, empowers, and transforms. Those are the parts of it. And I want you to know who helped me with that. I actually came up with all these awesome ideas, with my help a little bit, was your awesome youth director, leader here, David Buher. So we're both doing this together. So this is awesome. So it may seem like a daunting task, trying to explain the gospel to a non-believer. It is daunting. But I really believe that God has given us the Trinity and will help us to at least remember the most important components of the gospel so that you will have the confidence to sit down with a person and share the good news. Is that good news? I have to do it. I use the Trinity when I share the good news. You know, I'm not that smart. Well, I'm pretty smart, but no, just kidding. But I have to get something that helps me and guides me to do things that are meaningful, that are based on truth, and that are helpful when it comes to explaining things to other people. So this is exciting. This morning, I'm going to pray here in a second. This morning, God has given us another beautiful way of understanding the Trinity. This table represents God's love for us, and that is Jesus Christ. He loved us so dearly, he gave his Son for us. This table represents his love. It represents Jesus Christ, who gave up his life, who redeemed us through the cross, the resurrection, so that we have a new relationship with our Father in heaven. And these symbols remind us of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit that sustains us. It gives us the capacity even to understand this. Without the Holy Spirit in us, trying to understand this table and its significance is very, very almost impossible to really understand the true. The Holy Spirit enlightens us, inspires us, invites us, and sustains us as we continue. So that night, Jesus Christ took the bread and said, "This bread here is going to be broken and beaten for you. Eat this in remembrance of him." And also that night, Jesus Christ said, "Take this cup, the cup of redemption, a new covenant, my life, my blood poured out for you so that you can have redemption, a new relationship with your Father in heaven. Drink this in remembrance of me." Now, what's really, really important here, this is sacred. What I mean by sacred, it's been set aside. God has set it aside to say that this represents him, but also God says very clearly that this is another means of grace, that Jesus Christ is with us. God is with us. This is sacred. This is holy. And we have to prepare our hearts for this. We can't go into taking this table, the elements, haphazardly. We have to take this very seriously. God has invited us in to be a part of this special feast. So I want to, for right now, I want you to take a time of silence. If there's anything that's keeping you from receiving this table, these elements, we have a loving and just forgiving God. Just turn to God and say, "There's some things in my life I need help with. And I know it's a start, and I can't do it by myself. But at least I'm able to tell you that I need help. I need you to turn around." Take this time of silence, whatever it is that's keeping you from coming to this table, and I'll end with a prayer. And Father, we do thank you for giving us this table, for inviting us to be here, to remind us of your significant work in our lives. This table truly represents the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Help us, God, as we receive the elements, that we truly sense your true presence, that we truly understand the significance behind those elements, that you did this for us because you loved us so dearly. So we pray that you bless them. We pray this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to have people come up through the middle.